Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Another Money Show with JR Rochford, Anthony Correo, and the one and only Sam Davis. Thank you so much for taking time out of your weekend to join us. I believe this is our show number 11, which is a milestone for us because we figured we'd only make it about three or four shows. So life is good. Today, as usual, we have a lot to discuss. We've got a lot to talk about. Why do we do this show? I mean, what is our office about? You know, we've really, I mean, this is a financial show, but we've never really done any financial show stuff. We've sounded some alarms. I mean, we've tried to make sure people are aware of their surroundings. You know, our focus in our office has always been on planning over products, education over sales. So we've never really been like a quota driven pressure sales office. So over the years, I mean, we want to help people. Obviously, we want to help you better your situation. You know, we talk a lot about things that help you. We talk about increasing the safety of your assets, increasing your income, reducing your taxes. We do all that. But this is a broad platform where we feel like some people that don't really get this information, you know, you can get some out of the box thinking here. And then what you do with it is up to you. You know, we're always inviting people to ask us questions, come in the office. You know, we want to better your situation. One person, one couple, one family at a time. So that's why we're here. You know, I know this comes off a little bit negative, a little bit doom and gloom. We will roll with things. When the world gets better, we'll get better. You know, I mean, I can't wait for the day that we have to stop talking about the 10 pillars. You know, I don't know if people are getting tired of hearing it, but the 10 pillars, it's right in our face. And it's what could really change our financial landscape over the next months and years. So we're going to keep going on them. I better list the 10 pillars in case you've forgotten them. Number one, debt and deficit. Number two, financial markets. Three, taxes. Four, inflation. Five, healthcare. Six, unfunded and underfunded liabilities. Seven, the shrinking middle class. Eight, social media. Nine, geopolitical missteps. And 10, civil war. So the number 10 is the one that nobody likes to think about. You know, the other things we're all used to, taxes, inflation, healthcare, we're talking about it. So good job on those pillars. Civil war, we're not talking about it. You know, I mean, and I specifically am avoiding this conversation, but look at all the gun topics. Look at the shootings, the mass shootings going on. But I mean, when you look at things, we are so polarized. We are getting so far apart. The haves versus the have-nots, gay versus straight, black versus white, Second Amendment pro versus con, right to life pro versus con, all these different things. We keep getting further apart. So how does it end? I don't know. But one thing I do know, everything that's going on, everything that's coming is going to affect our finances. I know that for sure. You know, I bring up normalcy bias a lot. The reason I bring that up, I hope some people have heard that term enough and they've actually looked into it. I'm going to read you the quick Wikipedia version of what that is. Normalcy bias is a cognitive bias which leads people to disbelieve or minimize threat warnings. Consequently, individuals underestimate the likelihood of a disaster, when it might affect them, and its potential adverse effects. The normalcy bias causes many people to not adequately prepare for natural disaster, market crashes, and calamities caused by human error. So that, yeah, I know that's a pretty broad concept, but why am I sounding the alarm? And I feel like a lot of the time I'm all alone. You know, why don't people see that everywhere you look, there are issues, there are potential pitfalls? Anthony, you want to join in or just let me keep rolling?
No, I mean, you're on a roll. You keep doing what you're doing.
I am always on a roll. That's the good thing about me. You know, when Anthony's not here, because he takes a lot of vacation time,
When Anthony, like next week when I'm not going to be on the show?
Correct. So Anthony's going to miss his second show next week. So obviously the show will be it'll be a little better, but it'll be good. We'll get through it. I'm going
to
have Sam. About,
they didn't air the one that you did without me last time. That's how bad it must have been.
Yeah. How much did you have to pay the station not to air the show? It was really the only good show so far. Yeah. So anyway, some of the stuff we talk about, you know, what should we be worried about with the 10 pillars? I don't know. I mean, whatever one you're passionate about.
Answer.
Well, yeah. I mean, really all of them. How worried should people be? You know, that depends. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, some people should, you know, if you're 85 or 90, you know, other than worrying about your kids and your grandkids, you need to not worry about this stuff. There's not a lot you can do. Enjoy. You know, that was what's so tragic about COVID. You know, those couple years, you had people in senior communities, you had people that couldn't see their kids and grandkids. So, you know, you went through your whole life, worked hard, retired, and that's how you're going to end up in solitary confinement. So, you know, I mean, my thinking is younger people, Anthony, you, Sam, you guys are the one that are going to have to deal with this. You know, I mean, I'm pushing 60 here. So I feel like I have to worry about it somewhat. I mean, I'm right where I can get Social Security coming up. Do I think Social Security is going to change and I'll see changes? Yes. Sorry. Do I think you guys are going to see worse changes? Yep. Sorry. So, and we have a clip coming up, our little vignette that we'll play in a little while. It discusses Social Security. There's a little blurb about Social Security. It's very interesting. I mean, it's basically saying that our current political administration wants to raise Social Security. They want to give a raise. Well, how are they going to do that? They're going to take money from the wealthy. Here we go again. A lot of issues. Anyway, what I really am watching, you know, the 10 pillars are the normal stuff. That's what people are talking about. You know what they're not talking about? Black swan events, stuff that comes at us that we're not watching. You know, we discussed DEF last week, which is diesel exhaust fluid. And it's, you know, I mean, if we have a problem with semi-trucks moving, that leads to food shortages and scarcity, and that leads to big stuff. So my thinking, if you've been listening to the show, you know that I think you should buy a bunch of cases of corn and peas and spinach and put it under your guest bedroom bed. I mean, you know, when I really went extreme, one of the first couple shows, I think you should buy little mini bottles of alcohol. You need to have stuff to barter. You know, we've gone over gold and silver and tower gardens, and we've talked about all this stuff. So if I'm wrong, if nothing happens, I kind of like to think this show's been interesting. I mean, you know, when we say another money show, we say that tongue in cheek. I mean, we are not another money show. We are not trying to get you in the office so we can introduce you to the greatest mutual fund, variable annuity, whatever the product of the day is. We're actually trying to plan out your financial life with the world around us being the most uncertain it's ever been. So this is totally a different thing. You know, I listen to every show I can, especially on the weekends. I really scour. And it's funny because people are finally starting to get a little bit more doom and gloomy. I mean, I'm kind of giving some of these shows a little more credit than I was. It's a little bit less sales, a little more, well, the world around you is uncertain. So
yeah,
good.
But it's been like that pre-COVID too. And no one was sounding the alarms because everybody was making money. And if everybody's making money, you just chase that. You chase the dollar.
Yes. And my thinking is those normal days might be coming to an end. We might have some sweeping changes and we better start thinking differently. You know, really, if you think about it, if I'm wrong, if we don't all die of monkeypox, if the World Economic Forum, Davos, Bilderberg meeting, if all these things don't affect us adversely, you know, we do still have to get back to Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Our big social problems are stressed. I would say they're failing. You guys have to fix those. So even if the huge negative stuff passes us by, we have some big problems to deal with.
So one of those articles you sent me last week was talking about the debt, you know, compared to our GDP and how obnoxious it's getting and, you know, what the switch to the digital currency will be. You know, we talk about the $30 trillion in debt all the time, but the U.S. unfunded liabilities at almost $170 trillion. So all of a sudden, $30 trillion doesn't even seem all that bad. Yeah, if you look in the bottom right corner of the U.S. debt clock, it's down there.
Okay, yeah, if you get a chance, go online, go look up that usdebtclock.org. I mean, it's pretty fascinating. $169 trillion in unfunded liabilities. Doesn't that mean like money that we owe, we're paying out that we don't have backed? But yeah, I mean, talking about the bank, I mean, you know, last week, credit unions and banks got together. The organizations that oversee credit unions and banks, they got together and wrote a letter to Congress basically saying that they're concerned about a potential upcoming digital currency. I mean, we have to dig into that more because how would that affect things? You know, we're already digital. Don't forget, during the COVID, we had a chain shortage. You know, it's already where you do online bill pay, online banking. Everybody's got an ATM card, a debit card. There's not a lot of cash left. So we've gone pretty digital just organically and on our own. So if we go towards a digital currency, you know, how will that affect things? You know, what do banks and credit unions do? We put our money in there. We have our paychecks deposited. They take that money and it becomes theirs. You know, we sign an agreement that basically says, do what you see fit with it and do your best to give it back to me. Well, they use it for mortgages and reverse mortgages and business loans and all kinds of stuff. If we go to a digital currency, the bank becomes the federal government. So these banks and credit unions, they go out of business. That will not be good for this country. That will be a sweeping change.
Yeah, so, it's just consolidating the evil instead of having all these separate banks. It's like, oh, I'll just make it one big area and we'll give all of our money to one. And didn't that article, oh my God, what was her name? But she presented, it was what you just said.
Lael Brainard. Oh, research her. If you haven't done so, research Lael Brainard, because that's the next Powell. That's the next Jerome Powell. And I don't want to, you know, I make jokes about getting, you know, sued for defamation of character and slander from Yellen. I'm scared of Yellen a little bit. I'm super scared of Lael.
So but she brought up the bail-ins. And if you have a centralized bank that if there's issues with the market, you can just lock accounts. There was a lot of weird stuff in that article. Let's see if we can find that and talk on some of that in the next segment.
I am excited about that. I thought today was nothing going to, you know, just all happy stuff. But if you want to talk about banks closing their doors and bail-ins, I am on board because that's
the right. Stuff. What are we? We're trying to make people prepared, not scared. They need to know this stuff.
Prepared, not scared. Amen. All right. Well, let's take a break and then we'll jump into it.
You're listening to Another Money Show. To learn more and contact JR and Anthony, visit anothermoneyshow.com.
If I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a house.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.
Wouldn't you love another money show? You would if it were as good as this one. This is Another Money Show with JR and Anthony.
I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life.
Welcome back. Thank you again for taking a little time out of your weekend to listen to this show. We hope you're having a good time like we are. Grab a cocktail because it's always very uplifting and fun. So. To give you a little more idea on the banks and the bank situation. Oh, and by the way, if you have questions on anything that we say, please reach out to us. Email your questions to team@anothermoneyshow.com or check us out at www.anothermoneyshow.com. So let's not spend too much time on the banks, but let's spend a little more time on the banks. You know, we have been sounding the alarm. A lot of people, you know, they like the banks because A, the money is liquid, so you can get it right away. B, they feel safe, warm, and fuzzy because they have insurance on it. You know, and a lot of people, you need to understand, you know, when you have financial products such as mutual funds, there are safety nets. There's something called the SIPC. So there are safety nets. They don't protect against market volatility, but they protect against somebody stealing your money or certain things. You know, the annuities, they have state guarantee funds. We are prohibited from ever selling products and using that as a sales feature. But you need to understand that you can look into these things and see what kind of safety nets you have. The banks have FDIC insurance, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. A couple things for you. One, the first word in that is federal. So aren't the federal people, the people with, what was it, 170 trillion in underfunded liabilities? 30 trillion on the books. So federal, that should raise an eyebrow. we have, and it's been about 2 months now, but the last time we looked into the solvency of the insurance bucket, the FDIC coverage, it was at 1.27%. What that means, if you have more than $250,000 in a bank account, it is not protected by that insurance. So most of us have less than $250,000 in our checking or savings. And we feel like if there was a modern day run on the banks, which we started one in 2010, look back, I can give you some bank names. So if you have under $250,000, you feel like it's protected because, well, they'll make me whole. You know, if the banks close their door, I'll still get my money. Yeah, that is protected up to 1.27%. So research that. Go on FDIC.gov and poke around. And I think you'll be a little bit surprised what you find. So when we look at these banks, you know, Anthony, you bring up all the time, Wells Fargo, I mean, they were opening accounts that that perhaps they shouldn't have been opening up. I mean, they've done some funny stuff. I know Bank of America, they were closing people's accounts if they didn't like their politics, at least from what I heard. I mean, a lot of the stuff you have to research yourself. A lot of things I just don't have time to vet and verify, but I've read enough to know that some of this is not good. Chase, doesn't Chase have what? How many felonies? I didn't even know.
I think it was six was the last. So the article, let's see, this one's from September of 2020, says JP Morgan Chase admits to two new felony accounts, bringing total to five felony counts in 6 years, all during the tenure of Jamie Dimon. And then I think, we've got a rap sheet on here from Wall Street on Parade from Chase from 2011, which is, I think, much longer than a rap sheet should be for a national bank.
And I have a question for you. If I have deposited assets into said felonious bank, am I a felon by default? Or is it just a misdemeanor because I'm only a little part of the big felony bank? You know, how does that play out?
I'm going to call the cops on you anyways, and we're going to find out.
I figured you were. I just didn't know which it would be about this time.
I think that's insane. And if you go on to read a few more of these articles, not only is he getting felony charges, but he's getting massive bonuses as CEO. So how great is that to be a criminal and get paid for it? Why aren't we doing that?
I don't know. We're too honest. I think we both need to retire, move to a different country, and then just go bat, you know what, crazy. You know, we know enough to do things that are not above board.
Why don't we start doing them? I'm thinking, I don't know, I was watching Wild West movies. You do the bank robbers, on horseback, do something like that. Let's make it fun. Let's make it exciting again.
Amen. All right, I'm in. All right, so Sam, so we'll do next week's show just because Anthony will be out of town, so it's going to be a really good one. And then we're going to go ahead and hang this up. We're going to find a different way to make a living.
We're going to be outlaws now.
So back to more seriousness. So you know what? Go ahead.
Did you pull that article back up? The banking one I was referring to before we went on break. And they're talking about the digital currency. You remember that you sent me that, JR?
Yes. And speaking of digital currency, my youngest son, Jay, and I went to a friend's house over the weekend and we played poker. So my son, Jay's friend, Travis, came up to me at one point in the night and he asked me if he should buy cryptocurrencies. So Travis is 17 and it was funny because, you know, when you're 17, I mean, thinking about Dogecoin and the stuff that he's seeing, this is what they're exposed to. They're not, you know, he doesn't have to worry about debt management, you know, retirement planning. And it was funny because it stopped me for a second. I didn't expect that financial question on Saturday. And I looked at him and I said, well, maybe. You know, I don't want to say yes or no to you, but not right now. I said, let's give it a little time and I'll actually sit down with you and we'll talk about it. But I'm going to give you some things to research so you make a more informed decision. This kid's very smart. He's very sharp. I actually think he would be one that would research what I give him. So I said, let's give it a little time. I'll give you a little information to research and then we'll talk about it. And he was super excited. But I started thinking, I mean, you know, these 17-year-olds, that's what they're exposed to. That's what they're talking about. Reddit.
Yeah, you're getting all of your information from TikTok and Instagram.
Which, I mean, the world's changing. I mean, that's a very interesting update in the world. So I will keep you posted on how it goes with Travis and the digital currency. And now I have an excuse to reach out to Travis's parents and tell them that they should listen to this week's show because their son was featured in it. So look at that. Look at me. So why don't we do this? I think that we should switch gears a little bit what I really want to get into, because the banks, I mean, you know, really, you have to do some research. So you've got to use this, what we've given you, and you've got to look further and see if you're okay with
it. We still haven't brought up the point that I was trying to make on that article. So basically what was proposed was getting away of commercial banks. You know, so none of this went through, but this was just someone who was up for a very prominent position in the government. But they were saying move all commercial banks to the Federal Reserve. Allow the Fed in extreme and rare circumstances when the Fed is unable to control inflation by raising interest to confiscate deposits from these accounts, which is very similar to the bail-in that we talked about earlier. But there was another one in here that scared me a bit, saying that, if there's a rise in market value at rates suggest of a bubble trend, that it would allow the Fed to short the market. Like how much manipulation are they trying to get away with now? I mean, we already know that it's all manipulation, but some of the stuff that's been proposed is just kind of insane to me.
Because we're broke. It's game over. They know it. We know it. A lot of people are starting to wake up to it. So there's going to be drastic changes. How long do we have? That's my question.
But could you imagine the Fed coming in and gambling on the market and saying that it's all going to drop? Because that's how you make money, is in... You know, if things fail, if you're shorting stuff, you're expecting things to fail. And we're going to allow the Fed to profit off of that. That's insane. So
we're going to have no choice.
Yeah. All right. Well, this and a little bit more after the break. Until then, you can find us at anothermoneyshow.com. And when we come back, I think we're going to talk about taxes.
Yay, taxes.
What's happening in D.C. could affect your bottom line in retirement. I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife.
This year we're on track to cut the deficit by more than $1.3 trillion.
Not long ago, President Biden released his budget plan for the next fiscal year.
First, fiscal responsibility. Second, safety and security. And thirdly, the investments needed to build a better America.
Part of the fiscal responsibility portion of that plan is an increase in federal taxes, particularly on those who make more than $400,000 a year. That could be consequential.
Yeah, the one place where I've said that I think the president's budget is a bit consequential is in this so-called billionaire's tax.
Terry Haynes is founder of Washington, D.C.-based Pangea Policy. He told CBS News,
"Would they like to do something to increase rates on the most wealthy Americans slightly in order to pay for some of the things that they want to do? Yes, absolutely, they want to do that. And they also want to be out there on the hustings before the midterm elections saying that they're trying to do that's a big priority."
The plans could make things like Roth IRAs more enticing for pre-retirees, according to Entrepreneur Magazine. Why? With tax rates potentially going up in the future, high-income earners could put money into a Roth, pay taxes on it at a lower rate now, and then withdraw it later, tax-free. But what if you're not a high-income earner? Well, some other policies could affect your retirement as well. Biden wants to increase the minimum Social Security benefit and raise it even more for retirees who've been collecting payments for 20 years. Higher taxes on the rich would pay for that under the plan. Whether or not all of this becomes law remains to be seen. After all, budget plans are largely political documents, and Congress has the final say. So how could happenings in Washington affect your retirement planning? That's a key question to consider as you prepare for the future. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure.
If those other money advisors promise you a boatload of money, check the size of the boat. And be sure it's your boat, not theirs.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for being with us. So as we just heard, thank you so much, Matt, for always having these timely little vignettes for us to play. So, you know, when you look at taxes and how they're going to go, it used to be where I would say, and this is going back 20 plus years ago, do your Roth IRA. I mean, forego that tax break now because we're going the wrong way. I mean, sooner or later, you're going to want tax-free income and retirement. And it's, you know, fast forward two decades, it's like, well, I'm super glad I did a Roth IRA. I mean, I think the way things are going, taxes are going to be higher.
Well, yeah. I mean, who knows what it's going to be now, you know, if you're retiring 5 years out, 10 years out. But that was, you know, the mindset. But I don't think it matters. Say he does stay, say that's, you know, correct, and it does end up being cheaper to take your taxes out in retirement down the line. It's still a mental block. That means if you're in your head, you have 100,000 or 200,000 to work with in your retirement, you don't, because you have to cut that out. You've got to take out for taxes. So that's a burden, regardless of what the tax ramifications are. People get that in their head and they freak out about taxes and retirement. So you can solve that problem now by having Roth and then not dealing with it in the future.
Which is genius. And you know what the problem with it is? Not enough people know about it. Not enough people do it. A lot of people are like, yeah, I'm in. That sounds great. Oh, you have to pay taxes now. I don't want to do that. I mean, you know, delayed gratification, deferred gratification. I don't know. So, and you know, I mean, it used to be you retire, you're not going to consult, you're not going to work part-time, you're in a lower tax bracket. Sorry. I mean, let's tie into a couple of the pillars. Shrinking middle class. You know, when that clip said that, you know, how are we going to raise, that clip actually said we're going to raise Social Security. You know, come on, give me a break. It's game over. You know, we're going to tax the rich. We've been talking about that for decades. It's not going to happen. The rich have options. They can go to Belize or Aruba. They can do something about this. They can have offshore accounts and they can make changes.
Politicians are the rich. You think they're going to vote to hurt themselves?
They are not. It's lip service. It's, you know, we're always in an election season. So they're going to say whatever they have to say. You know, here's another pillar for you. Healthcare. You know, it was discussed a few years ago. If we go to Medicare for all, we're going to need a roughly 65% tax bracket across the board. Well, here we go again. The rich are going to get away from that. The poor aren't paying taxes. You know, it once again, the middle class is going to shrink. So everything ties into each other. So, you know, let's talk about a tax right now. I mean, gas prices, are they over $5 national average yet? Or we're like $4.86. I don't know, whatever we are.
I mean, we're in the like 520s, 530s here now.
Not only is there taxes on top of the gas prices, but it's, I mean, that's eating into our discretionary income. Correct me if I'm wrong. During the COVID era, didn't RV sales go through the roof? My understanding was a bunch of people in this country went out and bought really, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $150,000 RVs. Well, that was when gas was $2 a gallon. You know, what are they doing now? You got a 100-gallon gas tank on a Class A motorhome, you know, $500-$600 to fill your tank. I'll bet there's a bunch of RVs just sitting right now.
Anyways, we'll talk about that in the next segment. We got to go to break. Until then, you can find us at anothermoneyshow.com.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side.
You're listening to Another Money Show. To learn more and contact JR and Anthony, visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Welcome back. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy weekend to join us. I'm JR and I'm here with Anthony and also the one and only Sam Davis. And we just appreciate you joining us. So we talked about gas prices. We talked about RVs sitting there. It's like, you know, everybody's aware of all this. You know, let's talk about something that is occurring to us a lot lately. There's a bunch of people out there that have old 401ks, old IRAs, old stock accounts, all these old accounts. And I don't know if the plan is keep your head in the sand. Is that safer? Does that fall under normalcy bias? I mean, when I read the blurb about normalcy bias, one of the things that it relates to is market crashes. You know, are we having a market crash? I don't know. We don't know yet. You know, it's certainly down for the year. The volatility doesn't seem to be going away. So we are urging people, know what you have, know what your fees are, know what your risks are. If you need help, we can help you figure that out. I mean, we are aware of the fact that everybody wants 10 to 20% return with no risk. And they've had over a decade where that's been fairly possible most of the time. We do think that the luck is running out on some of what we've had for over a decade. We think things are getting real now.
So you're not the only one too. I mean, there's a ton of articles coming out. I mean, we just made fun of Jamie Dimon and all his felony charges, but didn't he come out last week too and say there's a hurricane coming? So, I mean, it's one thing to hear our opinion, but This is a guy that'll resort to felonies to keep the market up, yet he's like, well, I can't. There's a hurricane coming.
So, and by the way, Jamie, if you're listening, which I know you are, that is Anthony Correo with two R's. So, you know, I'm already,
his,
I got
his lay street address. We've got his social. You can, we'll just give it all.
Yeah. And I'm sure Jamie already has all that stuff, but Jamie, that was Anthony, not JR's opinion that you're a felon and so forth. And yeah, Jamie Dimon did come out, you know, he came out a few weeks ago and said, you know, prepare for storm clouds. You know, what's with all the weather analogies? But now he changed it last week and said a hurricane's coming. Well, dude, I just called Jamie Dimon a dude. Dude,
hey, you guys are on pretty casual basis, right? You guys talk fairly regularly.
Yeah, but he's a felon and I'm not. I actually have no felony.
He's also rich. See, there's a coordination. You need to be a bank robber.
Right?
We need cowboy hats, boots, horses, six shooters.
Ooh, there's a theme.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, Jamie can move markets. When he says stuff, when some of these big players say stuff, they can move markets. And they're all saying it. Everything. Oh, by the way, you know what? Sam, can you work on that? Anthony is going to be out of the office next week, so it'll be just me. Can we get Jamie to be my co-host?
Yeah, we'll work and see if we can book Jamie Dimon for next week's show.
Jamie, if you're listening, call us 623-523-0444. Again, Jamie, 623-523-0444. Yes, I'd love to have you as my co-host. He'd probably be kind of mean to me, though. So, you know, with when I talk about ignoring old 401ks and so forth, you know, the whole thing, it's your money next to your health. It's probably the second most important thing on this planet. You know, I say on this planet, I watched, have you seen the movie, The Usual Suspects? Have either of you seen that? Yeah, I know you have. Great movie. There's one part in it where a guy's asked, he's like, do you believe in God? And the guy goes, well, no, but I am scared of him. It's like, you know, I mean, if we talk about all this financial stuff and it doesn't come through, so what? It's interesting. I mean, if you don't believe in God and God is God, you're in trouble. If you believe in God and there is no God, well, no harm, no foul. You know, you had some peace of mind. You had some comfort. What's the old term? Fire insurance. Why do you believe in God? Well, at the very least, I need fire insurance. Good for you. So how did I get from old 401k?
So is this your way of saying you should prepare for a market correction, even if you don't think there's a market correction?
No, I'm saying you need to do your prayers every night. I'm saying that this is all temporary and transient. This is not important compared to what you need to be thinking about. But as long as you're here, we are supposed to be a good steward of our resources. So, and let us help you. If you have an old 401k, if you're not sure what it's doing, let us look at it.
Bring that all back around. Good job.
Yeah, right. Well, I went from,
no, I shouldn't have interrupted you.
401k to Jamie Dimon to God back to 401k. You know, it's the circle of life. Hakuna Matata.
is that how it works?
Yes.
God, yeah. Jamie Dimon, 401k. God. Just yes. That's the circle.
Yes, that's the circle of life. A lot of this stuff, you know, coming into our office, we don't charge you to do that. I mean, we're going to sit with you and be a second opinion at no cost to you. So the only thing you have to lose is a little bit of time. So take us up on that. Another thing that we've talked about recently, the reason we're doing this show and not having it just be a sales funnel into getting appointments, the reason we're spending most of the time sounding the alarms, we feel like we need a broader audience to stay the things we're saying that are not normal financial planning. That's what we think people need to hear right now. You know, the day will come that the show will change and we'll do normal financial planning. It's just not yet. So let us in your household. I mean, if you have your family or you have a small group, if you want us to talk to a group, you pick the topic, inflation, taxes, whatever, you know, and we'll cover it. So we love that. We're not going to charge you. And I mean, I know it's sad, but that's what thrills us. I mean,
what
we
are
love
some of the stuff. Groups you've already talked to? Because I know you've given some speeches to a few groups of people that probably listen to this station.
Yes. Well, and the people that listen to the station are, yeah, I mean, they're generally, you know, they're looking for talk. I mean, they're looking for talk radio. So that's one thing. That's a select group. You know, 960 The Patriot. I mean, it definitely is a little, it's conservative leaning. You know, I have given presentations to the Constitutional Sheriff's Peace Officers Association. Try saying that six times fast. So, I mean, I've done different group topics. I don't want to name particular groups, but yeah. So any different group, whatever political side you lean on, whatever your thoughts are, we're not going to humiliate anybody. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We're going to kind of give you some stuff to look at that's out of the normal financial stuff. So
yeah, this is financial, not political.
Right, right. And obviously people have their own personal feelings and thoughts, and, you know, we manage money. You know, over the years, it's been very apparent to me that your religious preference, your political persuasion, you know, that's on you. You know, we are a family practice. We do get to know our clients. So there are people, you know, that want to talk about that, and that's fine. I mean, you know, we're also adults. We've never had people that we get mad at them or they get mad at us, and we don't.
I'm just mad at you. That's different.
Well, yeah. Well, that's we're family. Personal.
Yeah.
We're not really family. We're family by marriage, not by blood. I want to make sure everybody knows that. So when you meet us and you realize how good looking I am, and then there's Anthony, you'll understand that we're a blended family. You know, you've been in my life. Your mom and our anniversary last week was 18 years. So I've been in your life for 21 years. Yeah,
that's too long.
It's crazy.
You could have just said too long. You didn't have to do the math.
No, I get it. Yeah, but you love me. I mean, I do know if your mom and I get divorced, you go with me. She can see you on the weekends.
It's so funny. It's like, if anything, she's the step parent.
Correct. I noticed she's been texting you at night lately, like mean things. So I think she's trying to push you away. So when we do financial advising, financial planning, when we do what we do in our office, all of the 10 pillars, all of the stuff we talk about, you know, that is stuff we're trying to help you do your planning in uncertain times. I mean, this is uncharted territory on so many fronts. So keeping all that in mind, we still look at your age. We look at what's going on in your life. We look at your income, your taxes. We look at all these things and we try to help you. You know, when you're new in financial world, financial services, they teach you things like the rule of 72, which, to simplify it, you know, it tells you how much interest you can make. If you make 1% on your bank account, it will take you 72 years to double your money. If you can make 7.2% on your money, it will take how many years, Anthony? I'm really bad at math.
10 years.
Like 10 years. Yeah, it sounds about right.
You went to college for that.
I did not go to college. Yeah,
I used my phone. I had to look it up.
Nice. Anthony took off a shoe so he could get to the rule of 72. So, yeah, I mean, and we're aware of all these rules. The rule of 100, that's always been interesting. You know, when you're a new planner, you think this job is a science. You're like, I've learned all these things. I got my insurance license and my securities license, and I can help anybody. And then you start having appointments and you realize this job is anything but financial. It is like we're psychology, we're in sales, we're in, you know, financial is a small part of this job. Everybody's different. You know, I bring up my father once in a while. He was more aggressive with his holdings than I am. You know, he was 28 years older. And yet I mean, I bought fixed annuities. I did stuff that he was like, oh, you're too young. And I was like, no. I mean, I worked too hard for my money. I don't want to lose it. You know, I put some money at risk. I mean, over the years, I've done mutual funds and I've tried different things, but my thing was safety. So the rule of 100 basically says take 100, subtract your age, and that tells you what kind of risk to take. If you're 20, you should put 80% of your money at risk. You should take 20% safe. If you're 80, 20% should be at risk, 80% safe. Well, that's great, but two things. One, everybody's different. People have different risk tolerance, and we can help you figure out what yours is, by the way. We have asset allocation models and what is it, Riskalyze, and we have all these different programs that can help people. You know, the thing about the rule of 100, not only is everybody different, it doesn't take into consideration the world around us. I mean, the whole thing about this show is that the world is different. Everything is different than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. So we have to use that too as part of financial planning. You know, Anthony's
focus now, I mean, with the bonds, right? I mean, we bring that up all the time. Interest rates have been at near zero for the last decade, which means they can only really go up in theory, which means the prices of bonds are going to drop. So if you're 80 years old and the rule of 100 tells you that you're supposed to have 80% of your assets in bonds, I mean, you're in just as much trouble, if not more trouble, than that 20% that's supposed to be at risk in the market.
And what do we do about it? You know, if you go online and research Tom Hegna, he's saying, you know, pull some of that bond money and put in fixed annuity money. We want to explain to people fixed annuities. You know, you hear the word annuity and people are like, oh, Tom, you know, Ken Fisher says I'd rather kill my mother than do I mean, I'm going to get sued by somebody else again. Sam, do you have that little button you can push? I accidentally said a bad word. My very first one, episode 11, and I said my very
also,
first
one. Also, didn't he say he would kill his grandmother, not his mother?
I don't know. He was going to kill somebody.
I remember that commercial, though.
It was shocking. First time I heard it, I was like, I did not just hear that. So, and by the way, I mean, you know, do you like your Social Security? That's something I can steal from Tom Hegna. You know, are you going to take your Social Security? Well, of course I am. Well, that's an annuity. That's an evil, bad annuity. So, you know, let us help you. Anthony, I know your focus is on income over assets. And I mean, I love that because people need to understand that getting by every day, every week, every month is important. If you're stressed about your assets depleting and shrinking, that is not a comfortable way to be in retirement.
So, hold on. I want to bring that back because we were talking about taxes earlier too, right? So the benefit of having a Roth or an IRA in general is tax deferral. Well, what's the only other asset that you can have that will tax defer your money if it's non-qualified money?
Roth IRA, life insurance?
No, annuities.
Oh, I love annuities.
Yeah.
I'm not going to kill any family member over annuities.
But if you have non-qualified money and you're worried about tax consequences, you can invest non-qualified money into annuities to have tax deferral, which you can't have anywhere else, any other financial product. So that's always kind of, I feel like we always forget about that benefit with them.
Yeah. But, well, and you know, insurance companies, lifetime income. I mean, there's a lot of pluses that people need to shout that from the rooftops. But unfortunately, we are running out of time for today to do that rooftop shouting. So we're going to end it here. Thank you again for taking time out to be with us. Make sure you ask any questions you have at team@anothermoneyshow.com or come visit us at anothermoneyshow.com. And we will talk to you. Me and Jamie and Sam will talk to you next Saturday. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.